The greatest tragedy in life isn't death. It's life without purpose. We were made to have meaning. When life has meaning, you can bear almost anything. But without it, nothing is bearable. Without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. You know, in the Bible, many different people expressed this hopelessness. For instance, Isaiah complained, "I've labored to no purpose, and I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing." And Job said, "My life drags by day after hopeless day. I give up. I'm tired of living. Leave me alone. My life makes no sense." But when you realize how much God loves you, with an extravagant, irresistible, unconditional love, then His love will change your entire focus of life. And you will experience love as God means it to be, filled with hope and energy and joy. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we bring you part two of a message called Recovering Your Joy. But just before that, you know, so many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use or to share with a friend who needs to hear the message. And there are certain key messages that are asked for over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick asked us to put together the very first ever collection of his most requested teachings. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a blessing to you, a family member, or a loved one. You can get your copy of the Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. And now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
The Bible says in James 4:17, anyone who knows the right thing to do but does not do it is sinning. It says, for me, if I know something God wants me to do, maybe He hadn't told you to do it, but He's told me to do it, and I know it's the right thing to do, and I don't do it, that is sin for me. And it causes me to lose my joy. So let me ask you very bluntly, what do you know you need to be doing, but you're not? What has God told you to do, but you haven't started doing it yet? You see, the secret to continual, abundant, overflowing joy is obedience. It's doing what God tells you to do. Every time you do what God tells you to do, your life's going to be filled with joy. Every time you ignore it, you're going to be headed into a dead end. You're going to lose your joy. God says, I want to tell you how to get along in life. But if you ignore it, you're going to not have the joy. Why does God give us all these principles, these commandments in His Word? Because there's a lot of in the Word where He says, I want you to do it this way, and I don't want you to do it that way. Why does God give us so many commandments? Because when you look at the commandments, some of them seem absolutely the opposite of human nature. It's not what I'm naturally wanting to do. When God says, for instance, I want you to give the first 10% of all your income back to me, it's called a tithe, to honor me and to show faith. You go, why? God doesn't need my money. Why would God tell me to do that? He wants what it represents. He wants your heart. When God says, I want you to save sex for marriage, but it doesn't seem natural to me. God says, look, I know what'll keep you safe. I know what'll keep you from having a broken heart. I know what'll keep other people from having a broken heart. When God says, I want you to love your enemy. Oh, wait a minute, Lord, that doesn't sound right. When somebody hurts me, I just want to hurt them back. That's, in fact, normally, if I want to know what God wants me to do in a situation, I take what I would normally do and do the opposite. Because my natural inclination is always to think of myself first, to not do it God's way. Now, why does God put all these commands in the Bible? Look at this verse on the screen. John 15:11, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have, and so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. The Bible is the joy manual for life. It is the owner's manual for how to live a life of joy. Now, the more you obey God's word, the more joy you're going to have in your life. You obey God in everything, you're going to have joy in everything. You obey God in some things, you'll have joy some of the time. You don't obey God at all, you'll never have real joy in your life. You may have thrills, but you won't have joy. God says, I'm doing this for your benefit. It's not because God is some capricious bully. It's because God is saying, I know what works. I created you. I made you. I know you better than you do. And I know what causes heartache, what causes problems, what causes disease, what causes sickness. I know what causes emotional instability, what causes stress. And I tell you what, if you just do it this way and follow my commands, then you're going to have joy in your life. I've got to correct what's wrong by doing what God tells me to do. You see, the Bible tells us that God wants us to live with joy. But you get to choose. He's not going to force joy on you. You get to choose how much joy you have in your life. It's based on how much you choose to trust God and how much you choose to obey what he says to do. If you come to a point and say, well, I know God says to do this, but I don't really think that's right. I think I know better than God. I think I know what's best. I'm going to do it my way. You're going to lose your joy. It's all based on obedience. Look at this verse there in your outline. Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Correct what's wrong. Fourth thing, if you want to restore the joy in your life, you need to think about what's good in your life. I need to think about what's good, the good things in my life. Stop focusing on all the negative, on all the problems, on all the difficulties, on what's wrong, on all my fears, on all the things I wish I'd done differently. You stop focusing on that and you think about the good things in your life. David says in Psalm 125, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. The more you focus on what God's done for you, the more joy you're going to have in your life. Why? It produces gratitude. And the attitude of gratitude, study after study after study has shown that the attitude of gratitude is the healthiest human emotion. If you want to be healthy, you develop the attitude of gratitude in your life. Studies have shown that the more grateful a person is, the more emotionally healthy they are, and the more ungrateful a person is, the more emotionally unhealthy they are. It's all about gratitude. So what do? Just go make a list. If you don't have any joy in your life right now, you're feeling a little sluggish spiritually, go make a list and write down things you can be thankful for. There used to be an old hymn called Count Your Blessings. And it said, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And then don't just be thankful, but think about the good in your life. It's all what you focus on. Look at this verse on Philippians 4:8. Think about the things. And the Bible gives us 8 things to think about. Think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about things that are true and honorable and right and pure. Think about things that are beautiful and respected. Sounds just like television, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. That's the exact opposite of television. Sometimes people say, Pastor Rick, how do you stay up? How do you keep full of joy, you know, with pressures and all the stresses of life? How do you stay full of joy? Here's how I do it. I feed my mind with good books, classical Christian books, and I'm reading them all the time, and I'm filling my mind with good things, with positive things. You say, how do you do that? Just watch less TV. It's real simple. If you cut out one TV show a night, a 30-minute show, that's 30 minutes of good input you could be putting in your mind. Now, let's just be real honest here. The average American watches 3 hours of television every day. 3 hours. You get home, the TV's on, and it's on till you go to bed. 3 hours of TV a day. That means by the time you're 18 years old, you've amassed about 18,000 hours of TV viewing. It means that if you live an average life, by the time you retire, you will have amassed 9.5 solid years of television viewing. Now, do you really want to give 9.5 years of your life sitting in front of the boob tube? I don't think so. The next time you watch a TV show, you better be pretty certain it's worth your life, because that's what you're giving for it. Your time is your life. It's the one thing you're never going to get back, your time. And so if you trade an hour of your life for a one-hour TV program, you need to be aware what the trade-off is. You're never getting that hour of your life back. Is that TV show going to make you a different person, a better person, a deeper person, a more joyful person? You need to look at that.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called Recovering Your Joy. There's more Daily Hope in just a moment with Pastor Rick Warren.
So many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. There are a few key messages that are so transformational that people request them over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick has asked us to put together the first ever collection of 6 of his most life-changing teachings. They include Winning with the Hand You're Dealt, The Amazing Power of Forgiveness, The Skills of Leadership, When Your World Collapses, How Can I Know God's Will? And as an added blessing, Rick and Kay's personal testimony following the tragic loss of their youngest son. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. It's yours when you support this broadcast ministry today with a financial gift. Get your copy of the most requested sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. When you support Daily Hope, you help bring the hope found in God's Word to people all around the world. Thanks so much for your prayers and your support.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
The Bible says in the book of Job, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look on any evil thing. I'm not going to say, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And so you need to decide, what am I going to look at? And if you were to just cut out a little bit of television in your life, you could begin filling your mind with spiritual food, good books. If you don't like to read, you could listen to CDs or tapes or things online that can fill your mind, that make you a more joyful person. I guarantee you, news doesn't make you a more joyful person. And you know what? The news of a week ago, let me just state this. Nothing you watch on television this week will matter at all 5 years from today. Nothing you watch on television is going to matter in your life 5 years from today. But there's a lot of things I could suggest you read that 5 years today would make you a happier, more solid, more successful, more stable person. It's what you fill your mind with. You got to think about the good in your life. Now, the fifth antidote to the killjoys, Pastor Buddy's going to talk about.
You know, I haven't actually lost my hair. I've just grown taller than my hairline. All right, here's the fifth way to recover the joy in your life, and that's to spend time with God every day. Spend time with God every day. Did you know that God wants to spend time with you? He really does, and that may be hard to imagine. I mean, he's got a whole lot of things going on, doesn't he? Why would he want to spend time with me? But if you think about all the times in Scripture when God invites us to come into his presence, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. He says, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. You hear him saying this all throughout Scripture. Why would God want you to come into his presence if he didn't want to be in yours? He wants to spend time with you. And there's a joy that comes when we spend time with God in a daily quiet time. It's really pretty simple. Because coming to God in a quiet time, that's how you learn to hear his voice. That's how you learn to find out what God wants you to do with your life. That's how you get to know him better, know his character better, how he thinks about things. And the more time you spend with him, the deeper your friendship with God develops. Jesus invites us into friendship. He said, I don't call you servants, I call you my friends. But what kind of a friendship is it if you never spend time with the person that you call your friend? What kind of a relationship would it be, say, in a marriage, if the husband and wife never spent time with each other? When we spend time with God, it restores joy into our life. He is the source of joy for us. As Pastor Rick said, if you want to have joy, you've got to plug in to God and spend time with Him. And you do that in a quiet time. Now, there are some simple ways to have a quiet time. The first thing you can do is get into the Bible. Get into the Word of God. This is God's gift to you. This isn't some rule that a church has made up. The Bible is God's gift. It's a love letter that He's written to you. He is communicating to you. He has something He wants to say to you every day. So you come to the Word of God every day and see what He has to say to you. It's not that complicated. And then another part of spending a daily quiet time is in prayer. God has something to say to you. He wants to hear from you. And so you talk to Him in prayer. It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be a ritual. It's just a conversation between you and a friend. Look at what the Bible says. There's a couple verses here about how Bible reading and prayer bring joy to our lives. This verse from Jeremiah 15, the Bible says, "Your words are what sustain me." So that's what gives you strength and hope. "Your words are what sustain me. They bring me great joy." And then Jesus said this in John chapter 16. He said, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name, so ask." There's a command there. He says, "Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." You see how joy comes through reading the Word, and joy comes through prayer. God wants to restore joy to your life, and it happens in your quiet time. As you hear Him speak to you through the Bible, as you talk back to Him, tell Him what your thoughts and feelings are in your prayer life. There's a joy that will come to you when you spend time with Him. Now, there's another way that you can find joy in spending time with God, and Pastor Rick is going to tell you about that.
Yeah, and it's my favorite one. It's Psalm 95:1 tells us, "Sing for joy." That's the third thing you want to do. You want to pray, you want to read the Word, you want to pray, but you want to sing for joy. Now, notice this verse. "Sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud." I mean, that means loud singing, not quiet singing, loud singing. "Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." You want to get joy? You sing for joy. It doesn't say sing to impress God. It says sing for joy. Now, let's just face it. Some of us, we are prison singers. We are always behind a few bars. And we never have the right key. Now, there's a sixth way that we can get our joy back. And that is this. Find a way to give back. Find a way to give back. Don't just take and take and take. Find some way in life to give something back. And that'll restore the joy. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2:10. God has given us new lives from Christ Jesus, and long ago He planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Now, you know, in tough times, it's very easy to get self-centered. We kind of pull in, you know, batten up the hatches, pull up the drawbridge, fill the moat, pull ourselves in, say, "I'm not going to get swine flu, I'm not going to go out, I'm not going to take any risks, I'm not going to help anybody else." It's very easy to get quite self-centered. And, you know, I'm just going to take it easy, think about me. I slack off in attendance, slack off in small group, serving, things like that. But the truth is, the more you do that, the more you do is you just create more problems for yourself, and you lose your joy even more. The seventh way to restore your joy, it's real simple. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell someone about Jesus. Nothing will restore your joy faster than becoming concerned about the salvation of a friend. And the day you help somebody come to know the Lord, there's going to be a party in your heart. And the joy comes back as you share with others.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily Hope podcast to your device and listen on the go. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us.
Just before that, you know, so many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. There are certain key messages that are asked for over and over again. And that's why Pastor Rick has asked us to put together the very first ever collection of his most requested teachings. Titles include Winning with the Hand You're Dealt, The Amazing Power of Forgiveness, The Skills of Leadership, When Your World Collapses, How Can I Know God's Will? And as an added blessing, Rick and Kay's testimony following the tragic loss of their son Matthew. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. And it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry today with a financial gift. Get your copy of the Most Requested Sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks so much for your prayers and support. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
If you've lost your joy, one of the ways to get it back is to give back. Find a way to give your time or your talents or your treasure to help other people. Ephesians 2:10 says it like this in the Bible. In our union with Christ Jesus, He has created us for a life of good deeds, which is already prepared for us to do. Do you realize that before you were born, God already decided the good things you would do with your life? Now, if we're meant to spend our lives helping others, and we don't do that, then it stands to reason we're going to lose our joy because we're missing the purpose for which we were created. We're failing to do what God has created us to do, and that's going to add stress to your life. Think about it this way. You know, I could take a pair of sewing scissors, and I could try to trim the hedges in my garden with them. But after a while, I'm going to get really frustrated. I'm going to get really tired. I'm going to start losing my joy for gardening because I think it's safe to say God never intended for me to trim hedges with sewing scissors. That was never His design. It's like trying to use a pencil to remove earwax out of your ear. It's bad on the pencil and it's bad on your ear. If you're not doing what you're made to do, you're going to miss your joy. If you're not being what God made you to be, you're going to miss your joy. If you're not fulfilling the purpose for which you were created, you're going to miss your joy. And the Bible says that one of the things you were created to do is to give yourself away. It is only in giving our lives away that we find meaning and purpose in life. Acts 20, verse 35, Jesus says, there's more happiness in giving than in receiving. You know, in tough times particularly, it's easy to become self-centered. We think about our pain, we think about our hurt, we think about our sorrow. We stop taking risks. We stop giving out. We stop seeing others in pain and in need. It's very easy to become self-centered in our own pain, in our own struggles, in our own stresses. And we slack off in serving. And what happens? The joy evaporates. The truth is, the more you give your life away, the more you create joy, not just in others, but you create it in yourself. So let me ask you, what would you be willing to give up in order to get a friend into heaven? Let me ask that question again. What would you be willing to give up in order to get a friend into heaven? How much is your friend's salvation worth to you? What would you be willing to part with if it meant somebody ended up in eternity with Jesus Christ? You see, there are people all around you who need to be loved, who need to be served in love in the name of Jesus. Those friends are going to be eternally impacted by your service. And if they come to Christ, they're going to be eternally grateful. But it's going to take you making the first step. You taking the risk, you stepping out, you finding ways to step out and serve others in love. And you know what will happen when you do that? The joy will flood back into your heart. When I start to feel down, when I start to feel discouraged, I look around for somebody to share the good news with. And you know what happens? The joy always returns. I hope you'll think about that. And more than that, I hope you'll practice it. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.